On my table today, Florence Azrea. She's one of the most inspiring person I know. She is a philanthropist. She is a French who was part of the first wave that came from France to LA to kind of develop the fashion industry. You might know her from Miss Delightful Azrea on YouTube. I'm so honored to have you on my table. We're going to talk about her story. We're going to talk about how she came to LA. And I really want to know about her latest project in Tijuana. I want to know all about it because she spent a lot of time caring for others and trying to make their life a better life. How do you feel in your body? Is there anything that's tight, uncomfortable, bothering you?
So I went to ski for 2 months, so my hip are really tight, my legs are tight, and also I start working out last Sunday, so I'm sore, like there is no tomorrow, everything, like my arms, I'm a bit better today, but you know, I did Pilates and lift weight and like, so everything is sore, but okay. It's mostly my hips.
Mostly your hips?
Yeah, and the lower back always.
Lower back, okay, yeah. Which is linked to your hip.
Like yes.
Usually when you have tight hips, then it's going to have some pressure on your
on lower your lower back. Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to do a lot of work on this. To your right side?
Yeah, I mean, both sides, you know, mm-hmm. But I feel like the tension in the lower back when I sleep.
Okay, yeah. And that also makes sense because if you've been skiing for 2 months, you are squatting and using your hips. So I'm not a skier,
right.
But like I know that,
yeah.
That movement.
Yes.
And so that's definitely going to make your hip flexors
right.
Work
much,
way more.
Yes, okay. Much tighter.
So
yeah.
We're going to work on that.
Yes, perfect.
Let's
yeah.
Go.
I mean, when you told me come, I'm like, oh my God, the wrist massage. It has been such a long time, you know.
Even though you know me, sometimes it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, but. The wrist massage, it's another level. I think I'm going to enroll in basketball just for that. Oh, and also, you know, I had foot surgery a month ago because I had arthritis.
Okay.
So what they did, so they cleaned, you know, the bone, but they didn't do an implant. So they cleaned it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still have pain, which, I mean, now it's better. But I still do have pain, so.
And you have some scar tissue, like it's yeah. Not moving really well, so we're going to work on that. To
yeah,
more,
scar tissue, more I mean, it's so painful. It's ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm. You need a little bit more soft tissue work.
Yes, work.
Start yeah. With that first.
That's why you should move back.
Yeah. Talk to my husband.
Yes, totally. Oh, yeah, he doesn't like LA, huh?
Does not really like LA.
He doesn't, yeah. I mean, you know, LA, it's... Interesting, because it's a city, either it takes you in and you love it, or it spits you out and you hate mm-hmm. It.
Yeah.
There is no in between,
yeah.
You know?
It's true.
The people that live here, most of the time, they really love it, or they move after you.
Yeah.
For me, I love this city. It's, you know, I love it. But it's just, you know, it's either you love it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you are a true Parisian.
Yes.
Right? You were mm-hmm. Born and raised.
Well, I was born in Nice, but I never lived there. So I grew up in Paris. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in Paris like 29 years. I lived in Paris.
29 yeah. Years. And so what made you think I'm going to move to a different country and I'm going to move to Los Angeles?
Well, so I was married at the time and my ex-husband was... He always wanted to live in the U.S. I mean, he lived in New York for a while. You know, he was a polytechnician. He's an engineer. So for him, it was like, yeah, you know, let's try. And I was like, I'm fed up with the bad weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time, LA was cheap. You know, it was not that expensive.
Yeah.
We're talking about 30 years ago almost. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I will be able to have a garden and for the kids and all. So we decided to try and I never left.
You know,
that was 30 years ago, 29
years.
Wow. Yeah.
So how did LA look like 30 years ago? Because I do remember when I came, it was like beginning of 2000. And for me, it was still like the wild, wild west.
Yeah, it was, well, you know, it was really fun. I was much younger too. I was in my 30s. So it's young, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. So we separated with my ex-husband and he went back to France. So for me, it was like, wow, you know. Freedom, like parties every night, fun people to meet. Like it was really, really fun until You know, it started to change after September 11. Uh-huh. You know, when it was another vibe. Uh-huh. But before, it was safe, it was fun, it was beautiful. I liked the mix of culture, you know. Mm-hmm. It was culture that I've never approached before, like Korean, like, you know, we didn't have that in France much, mm-hmm. like Latinos, like. Mm-hmm. So when we were not going on vacation, I will take my kids from one neighborhood to another. And it was like traveling, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So you will immerse yourself into a culture for one day, you know, like you go to Korean town and you go to the Korean market and you go to eat food mm-hmm. and then you know, and it was like you traveled, or you cross Alvarado and you're in Mexico, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And at the time it was not that much traffic, so I remember with my dropping off my kids at school and meeting girlfriends and driving to Tijuana, have lobster on the beach and come back to pick them up from school, you know?
Wow.
Well, because the border was super easy. It was not like the whole shit that mm-hmm. you have now. So it was really a fun, you know, it was like living in the south of France, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. you know? And you had the sun and people were much more approachable. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I fell in love with the city right away, mm-hmm. you know?
Wow.
And at the time, it was not that much, or I didn't feel that much barrier in between communities, mm-hmm. you know, that now people are scared of everyone, you know,
yes.
like you don't trust anyone. At the time, you didn't have that. It was much more, you know, and you will go to the beach.
Big community.
Yeah, it was easier, you know, maybe because I was younger too.
Yeah, yeah. You were not thinking
you don't
much.
Think, yeah. Yeah, but it was great. And I think at the time raising kids was very nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was better than France because we had space. You know,
yes.
the space that you don't have in Paris.
Yes.
Like
sure.
sports was important, you know, all those mm-hmm. things. So it was amazing. It was a great, you know, experience. And I still love it. Now I moved to the beach, you know, so in Malibu. And it's another community. It's interesting,
yeah.
you know. Yeah, and then I started working, you know, with gang intervention programs. So it was another part of LA that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the one that you don't see, I mean, unless you cross the freeway, you know?
Yeah.
So I worked in South Central, in East LA, and it was another culture, you know, other people, another, and it was fascinating. I loved it, loved it.
Tell me about your experience working for
So, I speak Spanish fluently. So at first I wanted to do translation, you know. So I was looking at volunteer work in hospital where I could translate. And I went to an hospital in Watts, was called Martin Luther King, that I think they closed. I got there and truly they were not, that's where the first time I felt community not interacting well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like predominantly Latino, but you know, it was at the time a black community, African-American community. So they didn't interact that well. But I met a lady there that was a nurse, and she said, don't waste your time here. Just go to that place in South Central and I'm sure they will love you. So I called and I was like, you know, I'm Caucasian, but I speak Spanish. And they were like, yeah, come on in. So I went and I stayed there 15 years, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And so
doing what exactly?
So at first I helped kids with GED. So, you know, we had kids that were in probation, right? So juvies. So in order for them to get off the hook and not go to jail, then they had to pass their GED.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that GED program, like, you know, after school program, which so they will come, you know, and they will be prepped for the GED. So I've met the most funny, interesting and tragic situation at the same time. I met that girl that I loved. She was so African-American, really cool, very like home girl, you know, like that. Her boyfriend was in jail. They were gang members, right? But she was hilarious. So she lived, I remember, and you know, she was like, yeah, you know, sometimes they gangbang down my window, and we open the window and we scream at them, go die somewhere else, you know. But she said that often it was a shooting and they had to hide in the bathtub, you know. So mm-hmm. it's reality that you don't know,
no,
unless
exactly coming,
you know,
from France or coming from
yeah.
the other side.
So
of,
it's reality
of LA.
That you're like, what? Then, you know, I did a cooking program there. So I bugged them all the time. I was like, I want to do a cooking program. I want to, you know, and they were like, we don't have the means to do it. I'm like, okay, what if I pay for everything? So they let me do it. So I started a shoe blog at the time, and I started selling my shoes and everything to sponsor my program. So I did like little cooking, you know, with kids. Yeah, it was really fun, you know. So cooking with kids, and once a week I had the mother that came, and we did kind of like conversation, you know. So they will talk about what was going on in their life, and, you know, and it was good for them to be in a community of women that they could express. And then you see another side of LA, the gang violence, the despair, you know, people immigrating, not speaking the language, the drugs, you know, all that stuff that you don't see when you live in Beverly Hills, you know.
How did that make you feel at the time?
You know, I grew up with Latinos first. So for me, it was like, okay, I wanted to help. And then I had a nanny at the time. Her son was a gang member. Mm-hmm. She had two sons. She was from Guatemala. She came and she brought the son later on, and they both became gang member. And one, I loved him, loved him. He was such a great kid. Very nice, you know, and he was a talented artist. He painted like nobody. And it was always like, when you're not going to jail, I want you to come and do a mural in my yard. You know, like I had the garage door. I was like, paint it, you know, do something, I'll pay you. And then he was deported and got killed, or he disappeared. Yeah, I know. So because of him, you know, I want to get involved with really much with gangs. So that's how I start the gang intervention program. Right. And then my heart always have been like working with people like that. So I work in the place called Home in South Central. At the same time, I went to Home Unidos, you know, which is a gang intervention in Pico Union neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But it's only mostly Salvadorian, so MS-13.
Okay.
So also I met incredible people, you know. I mean, I've never felt threatened or scared, or never, ever. Mm-hmm. And there we start something.
You felt home also kind of over there?
Because you know what, the humans, like, when you meet them, they're just lost, mm-hmm. you know, the kids, you know, most of the time. And so over there, we did a program for women, because a lot of girls, for women, you know, being a gang member is much more difficult than for men, because you're raped, you're abused, you come from abusive homes, guys too, but guys, it's different, you know. So women, I met women that were hurt, injured, and had kids when they were 15. You know, because they get two ways for women to get into a gang is beat up, or being raped. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, they gang raped by the whole, like, crew, you know. So they have kids when they're 15, and they don't know. They don't know how to take care of them at all. Or they don't, you know, they're 15 with a baby, imagine.
It's crazy.
Right? So they don't know how to take care of their kids. They don't know about hygiene, how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't go to the OBGYN for the whole pregnancy.
And you have, at that time, you had two daughters.
I had two daughters and a son, so I had my three kids.
Yeah. So
the story that you hear, you're like, are we in America? Is it real? Mm-hmm. Is it possible?
Yeah.
You know, like the lack of information, the lack of education, the lack of everything. It was like, that's bizarre. Anyway, and then I work with Homeboy Industry. East
What's
LA.
Homeboy Industry?
Homeboy Industry, they have the amazing program. It's called Homeboy Kitchen. Like, you know, they feed people, they have restaurant, you know, Homeboy, Homegirls Cafe.
Okay. Oh, Homeboy. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you see it everywhere now. They have it at the airport. And it was also a great experience. I work in the tattoo removal program. Mm-hmm. So I remember having those old OGs, you know, all tattooed, like, you know, but old guys. And I was like, you want me to hold your hand? They were like, you know, and then they were tearing because it's so painful to remove tattoos.
It's
right?
Probably more painful to remove them than to make
especially
them.
When you have gel tattoos, because they're not made with ink. Gel tattoos, you know, are made with urine and ashes. Yeah, that's what they, because they're not allowed to, you know, to get tattoo. So they make, like with a toothbrush, you know, they make the, you know, the machine.
Wow.
I know, they're very ingenious.
Yeah.
But you, we're talking about guys that have been in jail for 20 years, long time, you know? And like OGs, like old gangster, you know? Mm-hmm. But super, super, super nice. And then, so I discovered new, different neighborhood. Like East LA is fantastic. Mm-hmm. one of the oldest Jewish neighborhood. It was in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. That's where the oldest temple in Los Angeles is.
Really?
Yeah. Because in the 20s, so the Jews came from Russia. So they stay in East LA. Then came the Japanese. So the Jews moved a little forward towards Angkor Park. So you start to have the Japanese immigration. When they were released from camp, they moved to East LA. And then you had like the Hispanics. So you have all those three cultures. So you have fabulous building in East LA from the 20s. Beautiful, beautiful. And then you have the best tacos. And then you have Japanese food. And then you have all that, you know.
Street food is the best when it's...
Yeah. And you have all those taco trucks. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's like, you know, in South Central, you have the best soul food, you know, because you have all the African American that came from the South. Yes. So all those people in the 20s, 30s, 40s, they came to South Central, you know, and what? And they built that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So you have all those community living together. But, you know, and in South Central, we were trying to bring African-American kids and Latinos kids because, you know, they shoot at each other.
Yeah, how did that work?
So you have like, let's say on 28th Street, you have Central Avenue in the middle, you have 28 on this side, which is Latino, and 28 on this side, which is Black, you know, and they don't like to be together. So I remember that kid, you know, that was his nickname was LA. And he was like a gangbanger and like whatever, but not a soft one, like not a crazy, crazy one. And he didn't want to sit with Latinos. And then at the end, they all sat together. They were really happy. And I was like, see, they're not that bad. He was like, yeah, you're right. Because I paid him to come, you know, before class. So he will set up the kitchen for me. So I was like, see, you can make money without being like putting your life in danger.
Yeah.
It doesn't last long. Like, it's so much work that needs to be done.
Your money, and that's something that they're used to do.
Yeah, and it's so much work that needs to be done, you know, for community to come together. But, you know, I don't think it's happening at all now. So then I stopped for a while. And then, like, during the pandemic, a friend of mine called me, and she's like, you know, I'm going to Tijuana. I'm working with those shelter, and we're trying to feed people in the shelter, people that migrate, you know, and they stay in shelter. So they come to the border in the hope of getting a visa to get to the United States, right? But they can be in shelter for, like, a week, a month, 6 months, a year. You never know. And they're stuck in Tijuana. So I went with her to that kitchen, and I fell in love with the cook. And that the kitchen belonged at the time to the World Kitchen, you know. And the World Kitchen was trying to exit Tijuana. They didn't like it. It was too much. So the kitchen was vacant, but, you know, we need to find finances to operate it. So I asked her, I'm like, how much will it cost? And so they told me, and I called my financial guy. I'm like, do you think I can do it? He's like, yes, you can do it. So I took over that kitchen. I mean, I sponsor it, and it's... I love it. It's the best experience. You know, I go once a week. Mm-hmm. I met people that, you know, I mean, families in shelters, because we go, we attend to shelters. So we donate 3,000 meals a day, 3,100 meals a day in between 15 shelters. And now I start on my own a program in the street. So all the junkies, like, you know, we feed them 4 days a week. So it's really cool. You need to come one time. You will love it.
I want to, yes.
You know?
Yeah, you have to tell me how I can help, because obviously I have my hands. And that's actually something that I was thinking of doing one day, you know, doing to the, because they have pain too.
Oh, and so 100%, like, 100%. And so, you know, there is shelter where we have one shelter that is my favorite, where we have families that come. And, you know, the kids, they will benefit from a little massage, a little something. Mm-hmm. You know, recently I was there, we had those two little girls, and they, like, the age of your son, like 5 years old, and they had bullet wound, you know, they got shot. But not shot, like, directly, but, you know, it was right by shooting, and they got shot, you know, as they were leaving, you know. But so
that's
so
the reality. And that happens to the US now.
Oh, you know what? I have to say that in East LA, when I was working Omi Unidos, I've seen guys that were wounded, like, you think they come back from war, and no, it's all in the street of LA. You know, one experience, one guy I remember, he had like a big like belt, like, you know, compressing belt. And I was like, he was all fucked up. And then he took his belt off and all his belly rolled out because, you know, he was shot with a shotgun in the stomach. So he has no muscle anymore. So all these organs are loose, you know? So that's why he has to wear, but it's all gang banging.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it was a gang story. Mm. It was not, it was shot by police or it was shot at war. No, it was real rival gangs, you know? So you're like, guys with like missing an eye and you're like, really? I mean, and it all happened in the street of LA, you know? So gang violence is a real, real thing. So in Tijuana, it's like not safe to be there, but it's not dangerous. You know what I mean? It's bizarre. They tell you it's the worst. Like, truly, I've never felt anything. Mm. Truly, I mean, and I work with a group called Tijuana Sin Hambre, which is the one that I start the feeding program, you know? So we work with Tijuana Sin Hambre, and this is about humanity that is based in LA. And is the one that took me, my friend Elsa Collins. She's the one that, you know, took me, and I love it, you know. It's a very nice program because you see kids, you see people that improve their lives eventually, you know. Sometimes I don't think they should leave Mexico because they're much better off there, but, you know.
Because they probably think that coming to the U.S., you're going to have a better life.
And not always, you know. Yeah. The thing is that I'm trying to do now is, if we can help them fix their life in Mexico, stay in Mexico or stay in your country, you know, because...
And how could that be possible for them?
Well, you know, truth is like, there is work, there is, you know... Okay, so truth is like, a lot of time they tell you cartel, cartel, but if you don't get involved with anything, they won't go after you. Mm. Most of the people I've met that tell you, yeah, you know, it's cartel violence is because they weren't mixed up in it, you know? It's like gangbangers when they tell you, oh, I was walking down the street, and that's not true. Mm. That's bullshit. Mm. You know, nobody jump you if you're not doing anything. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. And same with, like, so I have that family that I follow. They live in I met them last year during Christmas, at Christmas time in Tijuana. And I fell in love with them because they had that 11-day-old baby that was born in, you know. Now she's a year. She's so cute. So I still speak to them every day and, you know, we're still in touch. And so they were like, yeah, we had like, you know, we were in the cartel came. The long story short, when they moved, they were in the state, the wife came clean and she said, you know, I didn't tell you the whole truth, but my was dealing drug in the US and he got arrested. So he's in jail. So the gang over there in Mexico went after us for the money. It's not like randomly and they had to leave, you know? So it's always something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say that Mexico is a fantastic, I love it. Have you been to Mexico City?
No, not yet. And you one of to. My best friends is from Mexico City.
Oh, really?
She
you need to.
Telling me that I have
no, no, no. You don't understand. So Mexico City is like LA was like 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
It's fun. People, you know, people walk in the street. It's like, you know, it reminds me of Europe a lot. Because people walk in the street, you know. You have amazing restaurant. People dress up. They look good, you know. You go to a restaurant, people look good. Mm. They dress up. They take care of themselves.
Because it's an event.
Yeah. They don't go, or just because that's the way they are, you know. They take care of themselves. They don't go in short and like, you know. So for us, European, it's amazing, you know? And you have art and you have like, it's very lively, it's very happy, you know? So anyway, that's what I'm doing now.
Thank you for listening to Deep Tissue Talk. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I will see you next Wednesday for a new episode. In the meantime, take care of yourself. I send you love.